Take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is a special Sunday in the church year, not just because it's the 1st of January, not just because it's the second Sunday in Christmas, but also because it's a special Sunday given in the church calendar called the Holy Name of Jesus. And it's fitting, of course, as we start a new year, that we focus on Jesus and on the name that was given to him. And so the late Paul Harvey told the story about a 3-year-old child who was just loved chocolate chip cookies. And so his mother took him to the store, before she took him in, she said, "Now you're not to ask for any chocolate chip cookies because you're not going to get any." And so they went into the store, of course, went around various aisles. But when they got to the cookie aisle, the young boy said, "Mommy, may I have some, please have some cookies, chocolate chip cookies?" And she said, "No, I told you not to even ask for any. You're not going to get any." So they kept shopping, and eventually they had to come back through the cookie aisle. And again he said, "Mom, please, may I have some cookies?" And she said, "No, I told you just to be quiet. Just sit down in your seat." So as they were approaching the checkout line, the boy realized this was going to be his last opportunity. So he stood up on the seat and he announced in a loud voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" Well, everybody around laughed and they applauded. And before the mother and her child left the store, they had 25 boxes of chocolate chip cookies given to them by generous shoppers. So Jesus is not a name to be used just to get something. It's not just a name to try to wiggle something out of God. But there's much more to the name of Jesus. You might remember Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare's famous play. The famous line in that play is, "What's in a name? A rose by any other name smells as sweet." We sang a hymn in the 10:30 service a few weeks ago entitled, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Is in the Ear of the Believer." And certainly Jesus would smell as sweet by any other name. As we look throughout the Bible, we see that there are 256 names for Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And certainly, I suppose that would be because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. The name of Jesus, of course, is very prominent even before he was born. The prophet Isaiah was speaking for God when he described the Messiah in this way: "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace." And so this name given to the Messiah was a name which was to bring hope and joy to all who would follow him as master in their life. I contend that Isaiah has revealed much more about the name of the Messiah, he's really sharing with us the very nature of God with us. Fathers provided the name of their Jewish children in a Jewish naming ritual that they had. And the Messiah appears, however, to have received names from many other sources. For example, the Word of God was with the Father from all eternity, but it was the Father who gave Jesus his name. And certainly the name of Jesus also was given, he was given the name Emmanuel, which Matthew tells us means God with us. And so there were various names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see, of course, that Joseph was spoken to in a dream and was told to name the child Jesus. Mary, before Jesus was even conceived in her womb, was visited by an angel, and the angel told her to name him Jesus. The angel said that his name would also be the Son of God. And so often in the Bible, a person's name represented not only their identity, but also their character. In Jesus' case, his name represented his identity, but also his authority, because he was given his name by God. Jesus has the authority of God to forgive, to offer salvation to anyone who would come to him and to seek eternal life from him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read these words: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so Jesus has the authority to give someone salvation. Not only that, but it is only through the name of Jesus can someone receive that salvation. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received him, as received Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God, even to them that believed on his name." So the apostles and disciples of Jesus knew that there was power in the name of Jesus. You might remember the story of Acts chapter 3, where one day Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and at 3 in the afternoon, now there was a man crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those from those who were coming to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. In the name of Jesus, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who would sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So there was power in the name of Jesus in the days of the apostles. In various places in the Gospels, Jesus encourages us to ask for anything in his name, and he will give it to us. But that also implies that we're following Jesus, that we're walking with Jesus. And as we are walking closely with him, the idea is that we will only ask for those things that are according to his will. In 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John writes this, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him." And so it's not just a matter of asking for something in the name of Jesus, but it's asking for something in the name of Jesus according to the will of God. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave this instruction to his followers. He said in Mark chapter 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them at all." Let's stop there for a minute, because obviously most of us have heard about sects of people calling themselves Christians who believe in picking up rattlesnakes and handling them and thinking that if they get bitten and they don't die from that, then their faith was strong. But if they die, that was an indication that they didn't have enough faith. And so as we see things like that, we hear about them drinking poison and stuff like that, thinking that because of their faith they will not get hurt. And tragically, many, many people have died because of these actions. And as a result of that, Jesus was not really saying to people that they should handle snakes or drink poison or anything like that. What he was saying is to the apostles and disciples was that they were going into a hostile and dangerous world. And as they were sent out by the Lord to accomplish his plan, that he would protect them from snakes and scorpions and from people trying to poison them and that sort of thing, so that they could accomplish their mission. We see in Acts chapter 28 that the Apostle Paul was bitten by a snake, and he shook it off without any effects at all. The people around him thought he must be a god, because this snake did not die from this snake bite. This is in no way a command by Jesus to handle snakes or to drink poison or anything like that. Continuing on in this passage of Jesus, he says, "They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." The early church had great faith in Jesus Christ to pray for someone in the name of Jesus and that they be healed. And they saw many people healed in their day. And so they began to pray for Jesus, for people to be healed in Jesus' name, and many were healed. These healings were a testimony not just to the faithful, but also to unbelievers as well. There have been many healings documented by medical professionals, causing many unbelievers to come to believe in the power of Jesus, not to mention the fact that there have been Christians that have had their faith strengthened as well. We have power over devils and demons in the name of Jesus, according to Luke chapter 10. It says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus cast out demons from people, and he gave his followers the ability to do the same. In the book of Acts, we see the apostles doing that very thing. So how could they do all those things? How could they do the things spoken of in that particular passage we just heard? Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is quoted as having said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. From the day of Pentecost on, we see that the apostles and disciples were doing those very things that Jesus said they would do. They were preaching the gospel. They were healing the sick. They were setting captives free. They were speaking in tongues. They were raising the dead. Now, could it be that modern Christians have lost sight of the power of the name of Jesus? Jesus has said that he would send the Holy Spirit in his name. It is through the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus that amazing things can be done, even showing God's power to unbelievers. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I believe it's going to come a time before the return of Christ where we're going to begin to see more and more miracles happening, more and more things done in the name of Jesus, more and more demonstrations of the Spirit's power. Of course, these aren't the only things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. In fact, Paul said this in Colossians chapter 3. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So as we seek to follow Jesus Christ in our lives, we are to ask for things in the name of Jesus. All of our prayers in the prayer book are concluded by either in Jesus' name or through Jesus Christ our Lord. All those things remind us that we're to ask him for whatever it is we need. We're to ask him for those things that we will be able to do in order to make a difference in his kingdom. And as we pray and ask him to do those things through us, we're also asking that he would fill us with his Holy Spirit so that we might have the power to do the things that he calls us to do. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have reminded us in the pages of Scripture that you are a God not only of forgiveness and mercy and goodness, but also a God of power. Lord, so often we don't really believe that you have the power to do the things that you obviously can do. So Lord, would you increase our faith so that we might believe you for even greater things than we've seen in the past? That we might be used by you as instruments, not only of healing, but also of deliverance and other things that you want to accomplish through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as you fill us with that same Holy Spirit, would you help us to live our lives more like the Lord Jesus lived his life? And we ask these things in his name. Amen.